A few years ago, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II was out on the moors of Scotland. All Scotland is moor. If you talk about moors, they're all in Scotland, whatever they are. I don't know what they are. But anyway, she was out there with her bodyguard, and they were walking around and having a good time mooring, whatever they were doing. And they met two travelers coming down the road toward them. These were North American travelers from way down there, you know. And they were chatting and talking and being friendly to one another. And one of them said to the Queen, "Have you ever seen the Queen up here?" And she said, "No, I haven't. But my friend has." And so he began talking to them and said, "You know, she gets pretty cantankerous sometimes, this Queen." Anyway, they were chatting back and forth. "Oh, you've seen the Queen? What's she like? Where does she go?" All of those things. And then he went over and put his arm around her, around the man, this bodyguard, and said, "Can you take a picture of us? Because you've met the Queen." And so the Queen took the camera and took a picture of these two friends. And away they went, and as the Queen was walking away, she said to her friend, "Oh, I'd like to be a fly on the wall when he describes who he met in Scotland." You know, sometimes there's magnificent people come our way, and we never realize them. But then sometimes we do see people that we recognize. In soccer, the soccer players march out. They're going to win this game. And usually there are a bunch of little children coming along with them. And they lead them out onto the soccer field. Football, if you're interested in the other term. FIFA is going to be here this summer, in case you didn't know it. So they were going out there, and they were standing, and this girl was looking around, and she was looking to see if she recognized them. He went this way, went, "Ronaldo." She said, "Ronaldo." She reached out to touch his arm. She recognized him. Sometimes when we recognize those people, we're so in awe, we don't know what to say, what to do. And then afterwards, we're so embarrassed. Let's all stand up, shall we? This is Palm Sunday. You know what it's like, but we're going to read this scripture together. Okay, I'm going to try and keep us in line. Shall we go? "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, 'Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son.'" You can do that. You can do that. Okay? Shall we? "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was turned and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, you can sit down. There were three great festivals, holidays in the nation of Israel. This was one of them, Passover. It was going to happen on the Friday. This was a Sunday. Friday was going to happen. It was a celebration of them being freed from Egypt. God took them out of that captivity and was bringing them to himself. The next one is called Pentecost, and that was to come 50 days later. And at that time, they were to bring the first harvest of the grain, to present it to God, to remind themselves that God was the one who gave them everything. And then there is one corresponds to our October, the Day of Atonement, when they realized upon all the things that happened that God had taken that special nation and united them to themselves. And in the midst of this, there is this wonderful prophecy that took place. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Oh, what a celebration. Now, when you can imagine thousands upon thousands of people, I think Alex mentioned us, 1 million people would come to Jerusalem at this time. And they're all there to meet one another and to go to the temple and worship. What a beautiful time it was. And you would come there not just to do all the religious things, but just to meet one another. How was your hockey team doing? Oh, well, how about the baseball? What kind of cell phone do you have? Oh, they'd just get together and they'd have a great, wonderful celebration. And they were anticipating what was going to happen. And at the same time, Jesus comes from the other direction. He has come through Jericho, healed a man of blindness, went into Jericho. Zacchaeus was up the tree, brought him down. He was following Jesus. Two other men were given their sight, and they followed Jesus. And as they come out through Bethany, which was in the east, what happened is they said, see that? That's an empty grave. That's where Lazarus was. There he is, right there. And he joined his crowd. And the crowd from Jerusalem, surrounding Jerusalem, and the crowd with Jesus, they all came together. What a wonderful, fantastic time it was. And as they come there, Jesus said, I want you two to go into that village, and I want you to bring a donkey and the colt over here. They put the blankets on them, their cloaks, and Jesus, if you want to know this, sat on the colt, the shorter one. Trust me. And he gets on it. It's the only time in the Bible we find that Jesus uses any kind of transportation. Other than that, he walked. And they were celebrating. And as Jesus began this journey, he sat at the top of the hill and he cried because he knew what was going to happen. Now, if you visualize Jesus out here on 22nd and Boundary, and he gets on the colt just right there, and he goes down that long hill, Boundary Road, right up to Lowe Highway. That's the journey he took. Goes down this long hill from Mount of Olives right to Jerusalem. And people were so excited. The prophet has said, your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey, to fulfill the scriptures. And he was so broken over the fact that they wouldn't believe in him. But the prophet had said it, and it came true. Prophets. Prophets. We think of prophets in the Bible as people who figure out the future and tell us about the future. But their primary responsibility was to speak to their generation at that time and to turn them, whichever way they could, back to God. Now, there are a few prophetesses in the Bible, not many, a few of them, but mostly we think of those great prophets like Isaiah. Moses was a prophet. He said, there's going to come somebody, you better listen to him. That was Jesus. Isaiah was a prophet. In fact, Isaiah in the book is called the fifth gospel because there's so much of it, so enriching, that tells us about the Messiah who was to come. And he spoke to his nation 40, 50 years, telling them about the wonderful God who was to come and how they needed to turn their life around and come to God. They were so excited about this man, so enthralled with his message, that they took him one day, put him in a hollow log, and sawed him in half. I've heard of Deutero-Isaiah, if you know that. But this is ridiculous. You've seen it being done with the magic. No, this was real. They didn't want him. Jeremiah, he was a man of very compassionate sadness in his life. He is called the weeping prophet, but he's still called a prophet. He spoke the truth. He said, I don't want to do this anymore. And God says, I picked you up before you were even conceived in the womb. You're my man. And even though he saw the nation crumble and be taken off into captivity, he was still God's man. Ezekiel, now there's a weird duck if there ever was one. He smashed the side of his house, crawled out with a backpack on his hand, on his back, just to let the people know they were going into captivity. God said, I want you to lay on your side for dozens of days. And then he got up and said, now what? I was going to lie on your other side for another few dozen days. I mean, what? And not only that, but eat the smallest margin possible. He must have been skin and bones, and yet he was God's prophet. He has God's message to speak to God's people, and they just wouldn't listen to him. Amos, I love Amos. Amos is a favorite of mine. In his book, the country had been whole. And then it had divided. There was the southern kingdom, which we call Judea, and then the northern kingdom, which is called Israel. And in the southern kingdom, they kind of followed God. The northern kingdom, they didn't follow God. If you paid enough money, you could be a priest. Wow. And they were turning totally away from God. And Amos comes from the southern kingdom to go up to the northern kingdom. And he had a message from God to turn back to the holy God. Leave all this foolish religious things, come back to God. And the head priest in the northern kingdom says, Amos, we don't want to hear this. Go back down south and preach down there where you came from. I love his reaction. I didn't ask for this job. God told me to do it. And he stayed and he preached some more. I love that because, like Amos, I was minding my own business one day at work. And then God changed my life in a dramatic way to serve him in different ways. I want to let you know that my most ardent super is that lady sitting over there, who's always been one with me. And what about Jonah? The most successful evangelist in the entire world. He goes to the city and he preaches righteousness and holiness and a turning to Almighty God, and they all repented. You believe it? And he said, doggone it, I knew God would save him. You believe it? What a stubborn man. God uses everybody. And Zechariah here, he is saying, your king has come riding on a donkey. Oh, and they took the branches, cut them off of the trees, put them down, put their coats down there, and he walked on that donkey, the colt, right into the city. But before he got there, he cried over them because of missed opportunities. Oh, here he is, here he is. And what happened? On Friday, they're hollering for his blood. And all he did was speak truth. All he did was speak truth. And sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. The head of Air Canada expressed condolences to the family of the two men that were killed in that accident. He didn't do it in French. He said, I'm not conversant in French. I just can't do it in French. Two men died. That's not important. He didn't speak it in French. And he was honest with people. I'm not comfortable. So sometimes when we speak the truth, it won't be accepted. Here are these people. If you watch the series called The Chosen, there are two or three occasions when Jesus sits down with a man called Judas, and they have discussions back and forth. Judas wanted to take Jesus, put him on the throne, and get rid of all the Romans and all the religious system that was bad, and bring back God into the center of the nation. And Jesus, on one occasion, had to say to him, you've got to choose your master. Who's your leader? And Judas gets up and walks away. And you can see the pain, because Jesus knew what was going to happen to that man. I used to get together with a group of my old workmates. We used to have a meeting once a month, sit down and have lunch and just do all kinds of things. The very last time I was there, and then COVID hit just a little bit later than that, the last time I was there, there was just one other man there, a man I respected from work. And we sat down and we told our war stories, you know what they're like, and we just had a great time together. And as we were leaving, I got to the door, I said, Dan, I'd like to give you the Gospel of John to read. Oh, yeah, I've got a Bible at home. Oh, it's fine. I'll just give you the Gospel of John. Stick it in your pocket and let it come out. And he said, well, I think because of his kindness to me, he took it. And 2 months later, he was in Mexico by a pool, and he slipped and fell, cracked his head, and was brain dead. Oh, I hope he looked at that book. I hope he just opened it up and said, God, speak to me. Missed opportunities. These prophets carried the truth. They spoke the truth. It was the word of God. And as Pastor Alex talked us a week ago, we bear the image of Christ. Everywhere we go, we take Christ into every situation. When Ellen and I were doing youth many, many, many years ago, okay, I'd often ask the question, would you take your mother with you wherever you go? There was a unanimous agreement on that. Totally. You take Christ wherever you go. Everywhere you go, you exude the fragrance of Christ because you're God's child. A prophet was somebody whose key responsibility was to speak the truth to their generation. And so it's ours. If we want to know truth, you're never going to get it in the BCTV News or CBC News or that other one down there. You're going to get it from the Bible. You're going to get the foundation of your life and the foundation of your eternity from the Word of God. And to read it and just let it wash over you. If you're not reading the Bible regularly, may I encourage you, may I implore you to do that, to open it up and to read it one day after another, so that the Word of God becomes part of you, so the truth of God becomes a part of your life, and so you know what God expects of you, a prophet. I have a friend who says occasionally, you know, one of the ancients said this, go into that city and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Because we come in, we have Christ, we exude Christ to those people around us. We preach. So here we are this morning, looking at this scripture. We sung praise to him, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered the city, the whole city was stirred. Who is this? This is Jesus, the prophet, the prophet, the prophet. Do you know you're a prophet? You have the truth of God, and you give it out. You speak it as the prophets did, God's word to your generation. Can we all stand? If you are God's child, if you've accepted him as your personal savior, I'm going to commission you right now. I didn't come for this. Well, yes, you are. You're God's child. Let us pray. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, dear God Almighty, allow us, your prophets, to take your message to our world. And everybody said, thank you. You can sit down. Yes. So because you're a prophet and you speak